This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2019, held in Montgomery, Indiana, on March 1 and 2.
Welcome. It's good to see you all. Special welcome to those of you who had to travel a long distance. When we go to these meetings, it's always a realization of how much work goes into these, and so I'm thankful for the times we traveled, for all of you who hosted. We want to try and return that to you as well this weekend. I'm going to introduce myself and then our school here, and then we'll go into this subject. My name is Anthony Lonecker. I am on the local board here at Mount Olive School. Our school started in this building over here in the fall of 2014. There's currently 99 students in kindergarten through ninth grade this year. We have 10 teachers on staff currently. Some of those being in helper roles and in part-time roles. We have one teacher who is also principal. And the way our board is elected, the local church here elects one board member each December. Out of that, the board is self-organized. So what that means is we elect our own chairman and secretary within the board. And a board member can serve two consecutive terms before sitting out for a year. We have several churches represented in our school, although we are a church school. I think there's around, if you count teachers and students who participate in our classes, there's five churches that are represented. So I'd like to take a poll here. This thing of being on the school board is a task. And when I was first on the school board, I tried to look back. I can't remember how old I was. I think about 25. And that's fairly young. And I will admit, I didn't know much. And so I'm hoping, hope I learned some over the years. And I'm hoping today that we can learn together. That's what I want to do. I don't have a long lecture. Mark Webb told me that this is a discussion, so I'm gonna moderate. I would like to learn as well. It was good for me to study. I learned a lot by studying, and I appreciate our schools very much. What they stand for, what they represent, and if you think of it in light of the upcoming generation teaching academically, social development, Gerald's talk on the hidden curriculum, the many little small things that schools do with culture that have a big impact on our children and the decisions that they make when they get into their teens and adolescent years. Okay, we're going to take a poll. You can stand, please. I'd like to know, we're going to start with just school board members. I'd like to know, first year school board member, if you're here as a first year member, please stand. Okay. All right, thank you. 2 through 5, years 2 through 5, your second through fifth year board member. Okay, that covers a lot. Okay, thank you. For 5 to 10. Oh, yeah. God bless you. Very good. Okay, is there any here over 10? Wow. Okay, very, very good. There's seven of you. Very good. Thank you for that. All right, we're going to go to the chairman. How many of you here are board chairman, first year? Currently. Current board chairman this year. Okay, that's most of you, which is, would explain that. Okay, is there any here that's been board chairman in the past, not board chairman this year? There's several of you. Okay, well, those are the ones that are going to give me a lot of input here today. Thank you. There's a lot of years here. There's a lot of wisdom here. And that is big when you talk about these events. Networking is so powerful. And in my experience, there's very few times that when you're faced with a tough decision, a problem, that somebody somewhere probably hasn't already encountered it. The problem is finding those people, right? And so these events are a great opportunity to talk and network and discuss. And I encourage you to do that while you're here. Hopefully you can find a lot of people, new people, meet, and can develop some relationships with to network maybe even later on in your school board responsibilities. I'm not sure what you're expecting here today, but I'm expecting to learn from you all. Like I already shared, there's a lot of wisdom here, and I want to be open to your input, so please share. If you have, also like this to be a question forum, possibly maybe the last 15 minutes, we'll try to get to that, and you all can ask questions, and hopefully someone here can give some assistance with some answers. All right, board chairman. What is that? The dictionary states that it's a chair, a seat, or office of authority, and then the man means it's a person. A chairman is the highest officer of an organized group, such as a board, a committee, or a deliberative assembly. I'm not sure how you view board chairman within your board. This would be from a worldview. I don't view myself as any different than my fellow board members. And this is an opinion, and I can be a little vocal about my opinions at times, but I feel like I'm just one of a team. But still, there's a lot of responsibility that lays in your lap to make sure that things move. Things have to move. You have to reach decisions. You have to implement. And so there's a lot of responsibility there. So trying to find your place in the team and still not be at the very top making all the decisions it can be challenging at times. And so hopefully today we can learn some of that. And maybe you all have some input or some stuff that I missed. So, I solicited a little bit of input from some local board members, and I got several responses back, and I appreciate those. So I will read those comments at this time. I asked them what is a board chairman? Wears a lot of hats. Is one member of a larger board. A spokesman, face of the board, a corner post, and then he went on to say, a corner post and a fence where two or more groups of people coming from different directions can connect to. So think about that. We got a post here, and here's your corner post. You got a fence, you got two groups of people, you got your staff, you got your school, your teachers, and you got your fellow board members, and you're the connecting point. This is a big job. And I'm not sure what your experience is, but the pay isn't, the monetary pay isn't, we couldn't do this and survive financially. We have to have a job elsewhere. And so it puts a lot of pressure on us to delegate, to make sure that we can still have a life. Because a lot of times what I found in my life is at home would be the first place that you take time out of if you're not careful. So I encourage you with that this morning to be very careful with that. Don't sacrifice your home for fulfilling of your chairman's responsibility. Try to make sure your families are taken care of. Okay, what is a board chairman's responsibility? Be passionate about school and infect everyone around you. And I would say that if we do our job in communicating with our people, our team, and if we are passionate, it will show and it will have an effect. So I would beg to say this, that if you're having issues with staff, if you're having issues of maybe just some teachers not feeling appreciated, maybe there's some instances of the school board, you're not sure where everybody is, I beg of you, check your life, check your passions, be passionate about it, and make sure that everyone around you knows what you're passionate about. I'll be the first to admit this is my weakness. This is a good study for me. Okay, on meetings and agendas, I think it talks about that on this here. How to have productive meetings. I suggest you present an agenda to the board well before the meeting. And I'm not talking about an hour or two. Give them time. If you expect all your board to come together and be productive at a meeting and make decisions and implement things, you need to give them stuff they can think about so they can bring their ideas. Several days is ideal. You can add small things at the last minute. We do, and it happens quite a bit. Someone will bring something up, say, yeah, can we talk about this? Sure. But I would add that be careful if you add anything of big significance at the last minute. Try to give your board a chance to process things, to think, to maybe even call, interact a little bit with the board back and forth to see where they might be, to ask questions, and then also pray about that. The bigger the decision that needs to be made, give more time if you need that. Give plenty of time. Your responsibility is to keep things moving without being overbearing. And also, you set the tone for the meeting. How many hats are you wearing? It's important. It's very important. So, how you conduct yourself, your tone of voice, you've got to move, but you've also got to be careful that it don't overbear. Be prompt. Meetings that don't start on time signal that it's not that important. So be prompt with your starting time. Hold yourself accountable. I make a lot of mistakes, and my board will be the first to, I'll just say that I do. And we've had a lot of good discussions, and they come to me at times and say you were wrong here, and I appreciate that. Hold yourself and your team accountable. Okay, so what is your job? Have you ever been in a meeting where you have this agenda And maybe there's this talking points get off subjects. So let's just say we were talking about this subject, and all of a sudden we're way over here. Have you ever had that happen? What's your job? This is your meeting. This is your meeting. So what is your job? The longer you let it go, the further it will go. You all know that. You have to bring it back, and you have to do it gracefully. Keep the conversation on course, but then don't lose track of what that fellow board member brought up. When you get all done, come back and talk about it. That's fine. But to get to decisions in a prompt way, in an effective way, you must stay on course. You must follow your agenda. And putting an agenda together, I don't know how much time you take doing that. Sometimes I do it too fast. There needs to be some thought into this. Don't just throw something out there. Think about the agenda, and lay it out in a format that's sequenced. So talk about line item one, and then just have it as you want to talk about your agenda. Have it so you can just go down the agenda. Be a good listener. I struggle here. Always make your board, your fellow board members feel like a team, feel like part of the team. Do that. Encourage them and talk about it. We're a team. Talk about that often. The more often you talk about that, the better. Say, we're a team here. Never make a fellow board member feel as though their idea or opinion is not of value. Be very careful with that as well. Listen. Listen well. Okay, how do you all come to an agreement? This is your job too. It's your job to make sure that all ideas are expressed. Everybody feels like they can express these ideas, but then you must move to get decisions made. If you don't make a decision, nothing happens. We use consensus mostly in our board meetings. I like that. Actually, I don't know if we've ever voted. We work around a group until everyone is, yes, I'll support that. Or maybe you have someone that can't get there. If you can't, then you gotta redo some things or talk things through. And maybe that can be put off for another meeting. But it's your job to make sure all ideas are expressed. People feel welcome to express those ideas, feel comfortable around you, and then you must collect that information and then keep moving things to a consensus. Can we arrive here? You guys, can you support this? After the decision is made, now you got to implement it. And I move too fast at times. I can be fairly aggressive. Let's get this done. Let's move. That has hurt at times, but moving too fast. And so I encourage you, from my failures, from my past experiences, never move forward until your board is right there with you. It'll save a lot of heartaches. Make sure they support you 100% before you move forward. You must be a man of conviction, and you must be willing to talk about it, share it. Here's a tough question. How can you be a man of conviction? How can you be passionate about what you're doing and remain neutral? I would like some input on that, because a lot of times what happens in a board relationship, your board chairman, someone's got to speak. When you speak, a lot of times, you'll notice, a lot of times it'll gravitate towards that opinion. What's your input? Can it be done? I'd like to learn here. Do you refrain from speaking? Do you just wait? How do you do it in your board meetings with that? Or do you not see it as, maybe you don't see it as a problem? I feel it's a problem with our board. That it's not a problem, it's something that I would like to learn and possibly hopefully do better. Yes?
Fill your board with passionate people.
Okay, everybody be passionate. That's an easy fix, isn't it? All right.
Our board chairman invites dissenting voices.
Okay.
He knows that if everybody reflects him, then the rest of us are useless.
Yep, that's true. Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Sometimes I think the chairman has the right to express his conviction, but I found it sometimes best to do that in question form. Present a question, what about? So it's an indirect way of expressing that idea to the floor.
All right. I like that. Very good. Ask it in question form. Very good.
You made a comment a while ago, being a good listener, and typically the way I do it is make sure the discussion is clear as to what we're talking about.
Okay.
But you don't say much until you finally feel a consensus of the rest of the board, and then you kind of draw it together.
Okay.
And maybe express your conviction. And I did have a question. You said you never voted for board meeting.
I can't recall we ever have.
So how do you put a policy in place?
There will be an idea put forward, usually from, so basically the way our structure works, we have a ministerial rep, and the board works under him, with him, alongside him, and then we discuss that we need to look at this, we need to talk about it, and so then that goes out into an email on an agenda. And we have never had it to where there's been big differences in opinion. I mean, most times we arrive very close. I'm okay with voting. I don't have a problem with it. We normally don't. We get to kind of a, and I don't know, maybe we vote more than I say. We don't just say, okay, we're here for a vote. Somebody seconds that, we raise hands and count hands. And I think my concern with that the reason I'm a strong proponent of consensus is because you want to be a team to move forward. And so if you have a 3-1 vote, you're not, and I know you can say, okay, that board member just needs to understand that I got voted out, I'm going to have to get behind the team and move, and that is true. But most of our decisions would be a consensus format. You had a question over here.
Are motions presented and then the outcomes documented? How is that documented then? Is it just said that carried it, everyone was agreed, or?
Yes, agreement. Unanimous agreement would it be, yes.
So essentially you are voting.
If you want to call it that, yes. So maybe it's just terminology. If we're talking about, I would be very hesitant to do anything without having everybody 100% behind. I would be. I wouldn't, that would scare me. Now maybe you all do that and that's fine if you do and it works. If we came down to a vote and we had 3-1, I would hesitate to do that without trying to figure out how we could get 100% of everybody behind the idea. So yes, I think it's probably maybe a terminology thing. Someone else yet? Yes.
I would like to just simply point out that there's a difference between a conviction and an opinion.
Yes.
A conviction is something that is Bible-based. We have no questions.
Mm-hmm.
An opinion is negotiable.
Mm-hmm.
opinions really should be based on our convictions. I think if we keep that straight, it will bring consensus.
Very good. Thank you for that.
One of the things I learned is just to be more comfortable with silence than everybody else on the board.
I'm sorry, I can say again, please?
Be more comfortable with silence than everyone else on the board.
Okay.
If it doesn't bother me, it bothers the rest of them, I'll
Okay. All right, thank you. Okay, so we got our decision now. We're implementing. And this is one thing that we have learned in our board. When meeting with staff, if there's a requirement where you meet with staff or a patron, a school family, we don't do that alone. Like one board member would not do that. There will be a minimum of two. We found that if you do it with one person, and puts you at a significant disadvantage later if there happens to be misunderstandings, wasn't presented clearly during that discussion, that can be a little rocky. And so that's one thing that we try to always do. I'm not sure how you do it. Is that? Yes.
Along with that, I always try to make sure there's two board members and one of the ministerial reps.
Okay.
We're from three churches, so we have three ministers sitting in as well.
All right. Okay.
I like that feeling very well.
Yeah. I could understand why you would like that. Yes, that's very good. Okay, thank you. Okay, you got a large decision. You're going to have to err just a little bit of moving, of implementing. How are you going to do that? You're going to move a little too slow, or you're going to move a little too fast? We talked about that just a little bit. I would caution against that, moving too fast. But do not leave a decision undone. That is, a lot of times that can happen. Decision's tough, it's big, it's hard to totally get things, and then we just, it becomes like kind of a dread to move forward. Let's not do that. That's our job as chairmen as well. Keep that moving. Implement as a team. Do not move forward without full board support. Involving all members, communication. I don't know how you communicate. This is a tough one for me. How do you communicate with five people? I do emails a lot, send out like an update, emails. The agendas will go out by emails too. Text messaging, I like that well too. There are times though when I really, really like just a phone conversation, one-on-one. And it can take a lot of time. And so back to what we talked about earlier with your family, be careful that this does not take a lot of time away from your family. Try to schedule those calls. Get with your, know your board members' schedules. Our board members are all involved, I think all of it, yeah, in agriculture. Schedules are very, very flexible, and that works out well. So for instance, if you would have a construction worker, if I would have a construction worker on the board, I would have to be careful. I don't want to call him at 10:30. He's probably working. And it's hard for me. We've got to realize that, okay? So my schedule is flexible. That doesn't mean that one of my board members is as well. So understand that. Know your board members, know their schedules, and try to communicate in their time frame without taking time away from your family. Okay, I got a question here. What are some ways that you find for communicating? I'd like to have some input. I told you about the emails, texting, one-on-one phone calls. How do you communicate with your board? Just not necessarily, basically if they would have a question on an item on the agenda, how do you communicate that? Or how do you do it within your board?
We have a group chat through WhatsApp. It's called an app you can download.
Okay.
And you can either send it
text message, voice message, whatever seems to work good for us.
Okay. All right, thank you. Someone else?
Advantage of that over text message, you can see if they get it and read it.
There you go.
If somebody's not saying something, you can go in and check.
Okay.
Has he gotten it? And if they're quiet, you know, you can take that as a, either way, I guess.
Very good. Okay, very good.
That's all right. What I don't like about that one. They can see I read it.
Okay, I like that. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's very good. Okay. That was my next point, encouraging participation from all.
So it's a conference call.
Conference call? Okay. Good idea.
So I'd rather use messaging though.
Okay.
Group messaging.
So a lot of you would use group messaging? Pretty. All right, very good. Okay, thank you.
For me, I find group messages kind of a one-way street. I send it out and don't get a great response back. Kind of have to get that from working face-to-face. Maybe I need to stress that a little more.
Okay. My problem is, I don't know if they got the text or not. I like that. At least there's you know that. And so encouraging participation from everybody is very, very important. To have a balanced board, to have a good balanced board, everybody needs to share. And it's, I think within every board, you're going to have those that are more open to share than others. And a lot of times, the ones that are not as open are just going to kind of go along with things. And so, yes, encourage participation. Very important.
Mostly email.
Okay, we have two here. Starting back.
Something I found very useful is if there's some bigger decisions to be made comes out of the faculty meeting, then we'll meet for an early breakfast, which doesn't need your
okay.
time. And just prep a little bit for the board meeting.
Okay.
Sit around the breakfast and discuss it.
All right, thank you. Someone up here yet?
Yes. See, I usually miss the email, and then I had a board member once that was afraid of his idea, and I pretty strong on the idea that they have to reply to everybody. He wanted to reply just to me. I didn't want to look at it. I think they should reply so that everybody sees their answer.
Yep. That's a very good, idea. Everybody, when you reply back to a message, that it would go to the group. That way everybody can be in on the conversation. I like that. Thank you. Okay. Talk a little bit about delegation here. I'm not a good delegator. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one struggling with that. But learn it and do it. Learn it and do it. It's not your responsibility to do all the work. Please delegate this out. And it's also, I found that it's very good to know your team. You're going to have a lot of talents within your fellow board members. Know them. And you're going to have some that are going to be very good at communication. You're going to have some that are very good at doing various other things, and if you know that, then that helps you to distribute those responsibilities, delegate those out, and get them done efficiently and get them done well.
Can there be a part when you delegate too much?
Yes, I would feel like possibly. What do you think?
Well, sometimes I feel like maybe I just don't want to. I feel like I'm getting feedback, but I'm just dumping the work on everybody else. And I don't want to do that, but at the same time, I feel like I'm strapped too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, do y'all ever feel that way too, that you dump too much on your fellow board members, and they're feeling like maybe they're getting overloaded too, or...
Okay.
Because, like you said earlier, this is a very well-picked position. We're all doing it for pay. Hopefully, passion and vision for our school, and everybody's working because they want to serve.
Yeah. Okay, I appreciate your question there. Someone have some input into that. Can you delegate too much?
It depends on what all you're talking about as far as board work. like, for instance, in our setting, we have what we call library committee. They're responsible for the library of the school and building that library. I have nothing to do with it. They report back to me once in a while just to make sure the work's being done. But it's their baby. I mean, they don't. And then there's, we usually have a committee that plans the field trip from the school. And they work together and they decide whether to go. That's not my problem. But yet I make sure it happens.
Okay.
So in a sense, that's delegation work, but it's committees that set in place at the beginning of the school year. Everybody knows what's going to happen.
Okay. So it takes communication for that. It takes, it takes some. Yes, sir.
Along with what he's saying there, something we do is identify and divvy out all the responsibilities that the board has been doing in a year's time. We have subcommittees. I know we already heard about that. We have subcommittees. Who's responsible for all the different functions that a board would normally do?
Okay.
So that one person isn't overloaded or the chairman's not overloaded.
So you would do that at the beginning of each school year?
Right.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Someone else?
One of the mistakes I don't think you want to make is delegating to a new member delicate issue or a tough issue.
I can appreciate that. That's very, very good input there. Be careful not to delegate delicate, touchy stuff to a new board member. That can dampen them quite rapidly, I would say. Okay, talking about confidentiality here just a little bit. I encourage you to talk about this with your team regularly about being confidential. I can't tell you how many times that just in life in general, what this has done, how much this has affected people in a negative way. Be very, very careful with this, especially sensitive information getting talked about outside of the parties that should be involved in this. It's our responsibility as board members and as chairman to make sure that we talk about this. It does happen. It has happened in our board. And how do you deal with this when it does happen? I may be too hard on the board chairmen here. I feel like that when this does happen, if it's another board member, and you stand by that board member. Walk right there with him. And if need be, apologize for the board. I feel like that can be good if you do the apologizing. And also encourage the offending member to do that as well. You will gain respect. If you stand by that brother's side and apologize for the board on his behalf, you will gain a lot of respect. Support your school and team. Visit school a lot. And expect your fellow board members to as well. If you want to know what's going on in the classroom, you're not going to find it from your children coming home. You're going to find a little bit out. But if you want to really know, you got to sit in the class. And it doesn't, we found that even going to teacher staff meetings, you learn a lot there too. But I've gained a new appreciation for sitting in the class. Watching how the teachers conduct class, you learn a lot. You learn different teaching styles. You get to observe all that. And I think it's very good. I'm not saying be overbearing. Don't show up every week. But you need to have an understanding of what's going on in your school. It's your job to hire teachers, right? And if you hire teachers, it's good to know what qualities are good. I'm not an expert here by any means, but I feel it's very important. We have regular staff meetings. Board comes every 2 weeks, 6 o'clock in the morning, and brings breakfast to our teachers. Sometimes not all of our board, but there's always, most times there's two or three, and a fair amount of time all of us are there. and teachers feel that. They feel support. If we would quit it now, I'm afraid we would be in trouble because it's just a big thing. They love it. It's emotional support. And it's our principal chairs that meeting, is the moderator of it. How do you all interact with school? As far as visiting? You show up? I used to not, I'll be honest with you. Years ago, when I was first on the board, I didn't view it near as high as what I should have. It's a very important work. And we wouldn't expect an employee to do their job if they're not trained to do it. And we wouldn't expect a boss, if he doesn't know what that job details or entails, to hire an employee to do it. So I think it's a good opportunity to know what's required in this job to be able to find teachers. What's your input? Yes, sir.
What do you do when you do get there? You don't know what to do.
I'm sorry?
How do you act when you do get there?
How do you act when you get to school? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, when you do go.
One of the things I did 1 year was I sat down in the lecture room for the entire, we have 100 students, we have 12 grades, so people go into the lecture room for over an hour. And I would sit down there for the entire hour. I watched every room come in, sit down, interacted with them, made lunch with them. That's one way I did it 1 year. I don't do it every year.
Okay.
You learn a lot.
Yep.
That time.
I can believe you would learn a lot over lunch.
I try to do that at least once every 3 weeks.
All right. Thumbs up. Very good. Thank you.
We have a schedule at the beginning of the year. We have five school board members. Each week, one school board member is supposed to visit school.
Okay.
And we don't police that real hard. I mean, if you skip 1 week, you might get done the next week. Might be two school board members next week. But and I try to go. You know, for 1 week you go, you can visit each class up to sixth grade, and then maybe the next time you visit, you hit high school more.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also take turns going to teach chapel, where they have chapel every Friday morning, and we'll also have teacher chapel that morning when the teachers meet at 7:45.
Okay.
And then also share with the students later.
All right.
We take turns on that, along with some other fathers from the school too.
Okay. All right. Very good. That's very good. Someone else?
Involve yourself in recess with the children sometimes.
Okay.
Right now, you're not just a top dog up there, the normal chairman.
Go play, right? You can kick the ball too. All right, very good.
I'm one of the youngest guys here, and I'm not a chairman. So my advice is no good, probably not. But in response to his question, I had to kind of deal with that myself. But I came to the realization I was voted in as by the church to be responsible for the school. The school is my place to be. In other words, how do I act? I don't know how I'm supposed to act, but I do know it's my responsibility to be there.
Back to your question. That was our school culture years ago. It was a little bit surprising to see board members show up. And I'm talking years back, several, many, many years back. Today, when the board shows up, there's no one even thinks that there's anything wrong. It's just every day, everything is just normal, and it's not no one even thinks about it. And that was not always the case. And so don't think you can just assume that there's no magic pill that will fix it. But just with time, that culture will change. We witnessed that. Okay, I think that clock's a little slow. It is actually right at 11. Got one more thing here, and then I'll conclude. The authority structure, respect that. Encourage your board members to respect that. Know the know the structure, know it well, and communicate it. The way ours works here at the church is over the school. We have a ministerial rep that we work with, and then it flows through the board and down to staff. And there's different structures, I understand, but know your structure and communicate it. And try to always abide by it. Encourage that. Conclusion. Be a leader who speaks out to defend the school, the teacher team, and fellow board members when necessary, and who has a passionate vision for providing a safe, healthy learning environment for all students. Thank you. You're dismissed.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.